Okay, good morning, everybody. I hope everybody had a nice Yom Tov. This is Parashat Naso, and I have a couple of things on the Parsha. The first piece is from the Bad Kodesh, who we've seen before, and Rav Pravarsky was the Panovich Rosh Hashiva. And we have in the Parsha the encampment of Bnei Yisrael. And the centerpiece of the encampment is that each of the 12 tribes has a flag, the Degalim. So he talks about the flags. So he starts off by quoting a Medrash Rabbah Kan, in our oral tradition. B'shah sheniglah HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Har Sinai, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself on Har Sinai, gave us the Torah, Yordu imo chaf beit revavot shel melachim. 22 rivavot of melachim came down, v'hayu kulam asuyim degalim degalim, and they all came, the angels came with flags. It was the first daglanut in Jewish history, right? Kivan sheraw otan Yisrael, so the Jewish people saw them with the flags, they were enamored. Shehem asuyim degalim degalim, hitchilu mitavim degalim. All of a sudden they wanted flags, you know, like, if you're every Simchas Torah in shul, the guy coming in with the flags and the kids are all so excited to get their flags, right? So the Bnei Yisrael were excited to get flags. Amru halavai kach anu naasim degalim kimotan. Halavai, we should have flags like the angels. Miyad hodia kodesh baruch hu otam liYisrael. Va'amar leMoshe. So God agreed. You want flags? We'll give you flags. Leich aseotam digalim kemoshe nitahavu. Give them the flags like they want. That's the medrash. V'cheini the medrash rabbah. There's another medrash in Shir HaShirim. Al haposuk haviani el beit hayayin v'diglu alai ahava. So we know that in Rashi we go with the interpretive interpretation of Shir HaShirim, and haviani el beit hayayin, bring me into the house of wine, really means bring me into the house of Torah, into the Beit HaMidrash, and into the Mishkan, actually, really into the Mishkan, and v'diglu alai ahava, and surround me with flags, surround the Mishkan with flags. That's really a reference to our Parsha, that the Mishkan, the central spiritual motif of Klal Yisrael, the traveling of Har Sinai that we spoke about last week, right? If you remember the Ramban we spoke out last week. So the flags were around. That's what this pasuk means. Haviani al beit hayayin v'diglu alai ahava. Diglu is a play on the word degen, right? And diglu alai ahava. Haviani al beit hayayin zeh Sinai. That's Mount Sinai. V'sham ra'iti Michael v'diglu. There I saw the angel Michael in his flag. Gavriel v'diglu. The angel Gavriel with his flag. V'ra'u enei tkasim. The modern word tekes is really a word in Lashon Kodesh in Hebrew. And v'ra'u einai tekasim shel ma'ala. I saw the tekes of the malachim with the flags. V'ahavti otam, and I loved it. V'otosha, at that time, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, God said to Moshe, hoil uritzonam shel this is what my people want to encamp with flags. I'm going to let them encamp with flags. That's why it says in the pasuk, "Ish al diglo ba'otot." Every person, every tribe had its flag. So now he gives us, that's the source material. Now he asks a question. We have to understand. What's this whole thing about flags? What's this whole big thing about? What's so important about flags? So I want to say something afterwards, just another, maybe a drush something about flags, but let's first see what he answers. He says, think about what a flag is. Essentially, a flag is for an army. An army goes out with the flag in front of them. Army is always, you drive by the machanot, the various army camps in the country, you'll see a big flag flying in front of the camp. You'll see flags everywhere, other places too, but essentially the flag is flying in an army camp, right? And that's an ancient tradition, not an ancient Jewish tradition, it's an ancient tradition. But by milchama especially, you go out with the flag. Yesh tafkidim yuchadim u'mesoimim l'chol kvutza u'kvutza. Every group that has its own flag has a unique responsibility. Kol echad chayav la'avod betafkido shelo. And every group has it, every unit has its own, like in the army, there are different kinds of, there are paratroopers, there are infantrymen, there are so on, and they all have their own flag. Ulema'alot chovato b'chalko. So each one has his own unique role to play. V'inyan zeh mesamalim b'dahad ha'galim. And the degel creates that boundary. The degel defines the persona of that particular group, right? In fact, the galim of the shvatim had on the galim of the shvatim, there were specific drawings, artistry that reflected the nature of the bracha of each of the shvatim. Shalakol echad yesh degel hamatim lo. Every flag, every person had a flag that was for him. Umisameina tafkido, and it spoke out his duty, his responsibility. In fact, you know, wise primary teachers, kindergarten teachers, one of the major projects they do before Simchat Torah with kids is that they make their own flags. And they encourage you, what would you want on your flag? What's important to you? You know, to create this sense of identity and their own personal commitment to Torah and Hashem. So, v'kach gam lahavdil, also to separate, to distinguish, ra'u b'nei Yisrael eitz la'malachim. This is what we saw by the angels. Shekol malach hay lo shlichut v'tafkid mesuyam. Each angel had his own tafkid, his own mission. We know that by the three angels that came to Avraham. You know, Rashi quotes Chazal and points out that each one came for a specific duty, that, you know, a malach doesn't come for two things, he comes for one thing. Misuyam asher, here the flag bespeaks that. Misuyam asher noad lo limlot be'olam. This is what he has to bring into the world. V'davar zeh ra'u b'nei Yisrael eitz la'malachim. And this thing is what caught our eye. The uniqueness of this flag, you know, we saw that flag that the angel had, and it bespoke their special nature, their uniqueness, and they wanted one. V'nitavulo. V'hu shelekol shevet v'shevet yet tafkid mesuyam ba'olam. Each tribe should have its own unique task in the world. Asher yiyah lav l'kayama, to fulfill. Uliyat ha'degel v'hasemel shel davar zeh. And the flag is really the semel, the model of what that's supposed to be. Ukamosha matzinu be'emet, we see this truthfully, shenit yachdu hashvatim kol echad b'ma'ala v'tafkid mesuyam asher no'adu lehem. Each of the tribes were given their responsibility. V'gam ha'brachot b'birkat Yaakov. When Yaakov Avinu and Moshe gave the brachos l'shvatim, matzinu king, you see that each tribe was given a unique task, right? Now, if you recall, we did the comment of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in the brachot of Yaakov Avinu, that when Yaakov gave the brachot, he gathered all of Klal Yisrael together, and then he gave the brachot to each tribe separately. So why? He's giving and talking to each tribe separately. Why did he bring all the tribes together? Because Rav Yaakov points out, he wanted each tribe to recognize the importance of each other and hear what this other tribe is doing. So number one, A, not to cross the line and take over their responsibility, but B, to respect the fact that each tribe is given their own unique role to play, not just you, not just me, right? Sheyachdu l'shvatim tafidim mesuyamim, each tribe was assigned a specific task, asher yeh aleim limalot ulekayem ba'olam, to fulfill in the world. V'hi shlichut kodesh shakol shevet, this is the holy mission of each tribe, b'fnei atzmo, each individually, the tafkid zeh for this purpose. V'inyan zeh nimtza gam eitzel hamalachim. Angels also have this. U'bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, kasher ra'u zot, when they saw that, nita'avu lekach, they desired it, u'bikshu gam ken liot kamotam. They wanted to be like angels. They wanted to be like angels. V'akodesh bohu hiskim, God agreed, v'natan lehem gam ken digalim l'kol shev v'shev, and he gave each one their own tribe. And then he concludes, in Shir HaShirim, it says in Shir HaShirim, Shlomo HaMelech says, Shuvi, Shuvi HaShulamit, Shuvi, Shuvi V'neches Ebach, Ma Techazu B'Shulamit, Ki Mechulat HaMachanayim. Now that pasuk literally translates means, turn away HaShulamit. Shulamit means the perfect one, Shalem. that the nations of the, somebody speaking to the Jewish people and saying, turn away, let's come to us. Turn away, Hashulamit. V'nechazabah. You know? Ma techazu, b'shulamit. And they answered, what do you mean? What do you have better than mechulat hamachanayim? What's mechulat hamachanayim? The encircling, literally the encircling of the camps. So you understand, the rabbis in the Medrash actually say that was the conversation between the nations of the world and the Jewish people. U'biyalkut shimoni sham ita, an old Medrash, u'mota olam, the nations of the world, omrim said, Lehemli Yisrael, they said to the Jewish people, Shuvi Shuvi, on the top of the next column, Hashulami, get away, come to us. Hidab kulanu, ubao lechem etzleinu, come to us. Va'anu osim etchem duchsim, we'll make you into duchsim, dukes. And duchesses, right? Shaltonim, sultans, vahagmonim, and governors, leaders. V'Yisrael, Amrim, Lehem, what did the Jewish people answer? Ma techazu b'shulami, what do you want? Us. What do you think you're giving us greatness? Shema mecholat hamachanayim. You think you have this mecholat hamachanayim? What does that mean? Shema atem yicholim liten lanu gedula. Can you give us the greatness shenatan lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'midbar, which God gave us in the desert? Degel machane Yehuda, the degel machane Reuven, degel machane Ephraim. You're going to give us this, close the phone again. You're going to give us this opportunity to have our own flag and to encircle the Mishkan. Degel machane dan, yecholi matem la'asot keilon. Can you do this for us? That's the message. Hainu shezehu ma'alat uskulat am Yisrael. This is the uniqueness of the Jewish people. That's what the flag represents. Masha kol echad makir et mekomo. That a person recognizes his place, his boundary, v'yodeya ma tafkido ba'olam, and knows his place in the world. U'kedugmat ha-malachim, like the angels, shiyodim ma hishlichutam, what's their role? Ma she'ein davar zeh etzel umot ha'olam, she'ein echad makir et makomam. People, the nations of the world, they're lost. Without Torah, you're lost. But here's the beauty of this, that the Degel speaks about, and that's what the Jewish people crave, that's really what is underlying the theme of what he's saying, that we craved a sense of self, a sense of purpose, a sense of mission. The flag represents our own uniqueness, our own sense of self and sense of mission. And it also, this is what I just wanted to add, a kind of rabbinic PS, it's a boundary. A flag creates a boundary, like you have your thing and I have my thing. And I think that today we live in a world without boundaries. Today there are no boundaries. The way people talk to each other, there's no derech eretz. You know, you read articles, there's something in the paper this week about derech eretz on a bus. You know, I think somebody wrote a letter or something about an elderly man who got up for a pregnant woman and there were a bunch of kids standing around and they didn't get up, you know, this kind of stuff. There are no boundaries today, you know, it's each man for himself, so flags represent that boundary. But I have something else here that I have, and this is from Rav Soloveitchik, and it's a classic statement of his on the nature of the flag. And our flag, the Israeli flag, right? So he read, this is in Chamesh Drashot. There's a sefer called Chamesh Drashot. It's actually in English, as you see, you can get it. Five lectures, which he gave to a Mizrahi organization years and years ago. And they were put together in a book, and I recommend it. There's some classic stuff there. But he writes this. This is so meaningful, I think. I want to add something. If you ask me, how do I, a Talmudic Jew, look upon the flag of the State of Israel, and has it any halachic value? I would answer plainly, I do not hold at all with the magical attraction of a flag or of similar symbolic ceremonies. Judaism negates ritual connected with physical things. Nonetheless, we must not lose sight of a law in the Shulchan Aruch to the effect that, and this is a halach in our Shulchan Aruch, one who has been killed by non-Jews is buried in his clothes, so that his blood may be seen and avenged, as it is written, I will hold the heathen innocent, but not in regard to the blood which they have shed. In other words, and this is a halach, that lo aleinu, the Chevra Kedisha, when they bury Chayalim Kedoshim, you know, who died al Kiddush Hashem, and there's blood on their garments, the blood is buried with the body, right? So in other words, the clothes of the Jew acquire a certain sanctity when spattered with the blood of a martyr. How much more is this so of the blue and white flag, which has been immersed in the blood of thousands of young Jews who fell in the War of Independence, and you see when this was written, right? Defending the country and the population, religious and irreligious alike. The enemy did not differentiate between them. It has a spark of sanctity that flows from devotion and self-sacrifice. We are all enjoined to honor the flag and treat it with respect. Beautiful, beautiful comment from the Soloveitchik, right? I'll leave the political comments to the pundits, but it's obvious what he's saying. Okay, I have two more pieces here, and they're both on the Haftorah instead of the Parsha this week. The Haftorah tells the story of the birth, the first of all, the conception and the birth and the beginning of the life and times of one of the great Jewish heroes of Tanakh, Shimshon HaGibor, Samson. And the reason, the main reason why it's obviously the Haftorah of the Parsha is because Parshas Nasoh also has the laws of the Nazir. The Nazir, we know, is someone who takes upon himself beyond the letter of the law, lifnim mishurat hadin, not to cut his hair, not to drink wine, not to come in contact with death, to additional increased sanctity in his life. Okay, so that's the main reason why it is attached to Parshat Nasoh, but perhaps there are other reasons. But let's see. I have two pieces here from Rav Schwab on the Haftorah, and he brings out two very interesting lessons. So first, there's an anomaly. There's a strange thing about the story. Let's go to the Haftorah. Number three, Vayomer li. So this is now what happens. Is a Malach Hashem comes to the parents of Shimshon, who were trying to have a baby. She couldn't get pregnant. And they were very simple Jews. They were very pious people, but they were very simple people. The parents of Shimshon and Gibor were regular Amcha. And an angel, she was praying for a child, then an angel comes to her and tells her, you're going to have a child. And the Malach says to her, Vayomer li, says to me, she's telling over her husband. And it's actually repeated several times. First, the Navi tells us that in Shoftim, that the angel came to her and told her, you're going to have a child, and this child is going to be different, and he can't drink wine, you have to keep him away from impurity. And then she tells her husband, and it's all repeated again, right? Vayomer li, va'ata, she's telling her husband, al tishti yayin, don't drink wine. V'sheicha, any strong drink. V'al toch li, kol tumea, nazir elokim yiyeh hanar. This child is going to be a nazir. Min habetin, from birth, before birth. V'yetar Manoach el Hashem. So Manoach heard this from his wife. So he now davens to Hashem. V'yomer bi Hashem, isha elokim asher shalachta. Please do me a favor. This angel that you sent, yavona oda aile. Let him come one more time. And tell us how we should conduct ourselves with this child that's going to be born. So this is very strange, right? He already came and told the wife. The wife already told him. And that's going to be his question. He may. Look, Tfilat Manoach Mekan, Manoach was the father. The Tfil of Manoach Mekan, Kasher Lahavid, is hard to understand. V'chilo yada parshat nazir haktuva b'torah. Granted, he's a simple person, but he learned Chumash. He doesn't know the laws of Nazir, and to boot, the Malach had told her, his wife already. V'im haya rotzeh l'dat hilchot nazirut. If you wanted to go into detail, into the laws of nazirut, Sheba Torah, Shebal Peh, in our oral tradition, in the Gemara, ha'im hayu chaserim chachamim v'shoftim, were there no chachamim and judges around? Shehayacholi sholtem, you could have asked them levarer kol prat b'prat, to go over all the nitty-gritty of the halachas of a nazir. Shari Adab Besurat Isha Elokim, Shenazir Elokim Yanar, he was already told the kid's going to be a nar, Nazir, Ve'im Kain, therefore, Lama Va'alma. Why, we have to ask, why he palel, why did he daven sheet, Gale Isha Elokim Elav Sheni, that he should come back a second time? What's this all about? Ubioter Kashir, what's even more troubling, strange, Shekeshin Ne'ater HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Tfilato, when God answered him, and he came back a second time. Hari b'hashkafa rishonah, if you look at what the malach said, lo chidesh klum mima shetziva b'ofatah rishonah leishet manoah. He didn't add anything to what he said at first to the malach. Kidichti, what did the malach? So the malach came back. God answered his prayer. The malach came back a second time. And this is what he said. Mikol asher amarti ala isha tishmor. Whatever I told to your wife, you must guard. Mikol, namely, mikol asher yitzei migefen hayayin, whatever comes out of the fruit of the vine, lo tochal, you cannot eat, cannot be eaten. Kol asher tzivitah tishmor. Everything I commanded to her, tishmor, keep. So what's going on? So he says something so beautiful now. So beautiful. This is not repetitious. This is not, that wasn't the question that Manoah asked, to come back and tell us what to do with this child. I'll tell you in my words, okay? And then we'll see it inside. The question was, you know, how do you raise a nazir? You know, people who have, sometimes a child is born and he's off the charts. He's what we call in Hebrew an ilui, a genius. You think, you know, sometimes people at Nebuch, it's hard to raise a child that has problems, children have problems, and they go for help to how to raise a child with this problem and that problem. But, you know, so you think you have a genius child, you're on easy street. How do you raise a genius child? A child is really off the charts. I don't know if you ever met a genius, a genuine, bona fide genius child. You know, a kid who learned all of Shishi Sidre Mishnah when he was 5 years old already. Such a child. There are such kids walking around, you know, that we are blessed with. And how do you raise such a child? How do you educate him? He sits in the class, you know, in 5 minutes, he picks up the whole year's curriculum from two things the teacher says. Right? These are the kids you hear about who graduate Princeton at 16 and 17, and there are big social problems with them. You know, they become professors at 21. Tremendous social problems with these kids. In fact, in our tradition, the Chazon Ish once said that Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, had very little nachas from their iluyim, from their geniuses, right? You don't hear too much about our great scholars. Many of them, if you read stories carefully between the lines of some of our great scholars, they were not necessarily geniuses when they were kids. They were just normal youngsters who worked hard. Like, you know, I think we pointed this out in Bechukotai. We pointed out Bechukotai. Remember we said in Bechukotai? Rashi says, Bechukotai, im Bechukotai teilechu. And Rashi says that's the chukim of the Torah, right? So we asked, what's chok? What's the difference between chok and a regular mitzvah? Chok is a mitzvah without a reason. Right. So what's the mystery of a chok? If you keep my chukim, then you'll be successful and I'll give you all the brachas in the world. But the chok is, and Rashi says chok is amelut batorah. Chok is studying Torah. So we asked, what's the mystery in studying Torah? So we answered from Thomas Alva Edison, who said, when he was asked how he was so successful in inventing electricity and so on, he said, 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration, right? That's how you become great, essentially. So that's what the Chazon Ish meant. But really, how do you raise an ilui? How do you raise a genius child? It's not an easy thing. It's a very complex to have a genius in the house, right? That's what Manoach was asking. We're going to have a nazir? How do we raise a nazir? That was the question. Not, you repeat again what you told my wife. But he said, he pleased, will he come again? And in the top paragraph, Hashem, v'yomer bi Hashem, isha elokim asher shalachta yavona or elim, come again, v'yorunu, and teach us, ma na'aseh l'nara yulam. What should we do with this child who's going to be born? He's not talking about the wine. The wine thing. I got the haircut thing, I got the wine cut thing, I got the dead body thing, the lo aleinu, but I don't got, how do I raise him? How do I raise this child? How do I keep him normal? Right? So that's what he was asking. So let's see what he answers. V'hanira b'zed. So what I want to say is that what is going on here, sha'afilu haya Manoach yodeh dinen nizirut, even if Manoach was familiar with the laws of nizirut, lo hayita bakashato ela behilchot chinuch. His question was not in Hilchot Zirut. His question was in Hilchot Chinuch, education, child raising. That's what he wanted to know. How do I raise this child? Shiratzah ledad, he wanted to know, ma na'aseh Linar Hayula. What do we do with this child that's born? How do we deal with it? Dafke. Shahaya Tamua Be'enav. Eich Yitzaveh Kodesh Baruch Hu. How, it was a wonder to him, how does God bless them? L'gadeh l'chanech ben nazir. Now we got this blessing. How do we, we're normal, simple people, how do we raise such a child? B'kdushah nosefet, with additional holiness and sanctity, ubi isurim nosafim, and all these separations that the nazir has to abide by. Al shar ha'am. That he has to be separated from the rest of the people. Im ein hu be'atzmo nazir. How, I'm not a nazir. So how can I raise a child as a nazir? That's what he was asking. Not to repeat what you said about the wine and so on, and the haircut, but tell me, let the angel come back and tell me, how do I raise a genius? How do I raise a nazir? An ish kadosh like this. Val zeh heshiv lo ha-malach. And that was the answer of the malach. She'enachi nami, you're right. Shegam ha'aba shel ha'nar ha'yulad tzarich lehitnaheg kimo nazir. You know how you raise a nazir? You have to be a role model. You, father and mother, you have to take that extra step, that quantum leap, and become Nazirim and live that way. V'zeu pirush ha'katuv, and that's what the pasuk means. Mikol asher amarti al isha, everything that I told the woman, shetitnaheg bimei ha'erayon, that she should start conducting herself during, I told doctor when she was pregnant, tishamer, or tishmor, gam ata ha'av, that Hebrew word tishmor, is not take care, be careful to do it for the child, look in the parentheses, ki al pi diktuk, yitaken she tishmor, hu lashon nekeva nistar, v'lashon zachar nochach. You can translate tishamor two ways, tishmor, for yourself, tishmor, make sure, guard that the child, but also tishmor means you, tishmor, you keep these laws. That's what the malach was saying. Brilliant, just a brilliant chap on this pasuk. V'chein ha-pirush, and also, when he said, kol asher tzivitiha li'ishtecha, everything that I commanded to your wife, gam ata manoach, tishmor. Not be careful with your wife to do it for the child, tishmor. But what I commanded your wife to do, tishmor, you have to do. That's why he said it twice. He told his wife, and he came back and told him to do it. She'ein be'efsharut. It is impossible, lahadrich habanim, to raise your children, b'derech acheret mimah shedorchim ha'avot, in a way, in an opposite direction that the parents are going. Right? You know, I always said, you know, do your kid, when you come to a shir at night, or a morning shir, whatever, do your kids know where you are? Did you tell your kids, you know, I'm going to a shir now to learn. All right, Baruch Hashem, you know, your kids are all learning now. But I'm saying, as young parents, it's always important, if the mother or the father is running out to a shir, to tell the child, I'll be home in an hour, I'm going, you're going out again. You know, where are you going, bowling? No, I'm going to a shir. I'm going to learn Torah, right? That has a lasting impact on a child, right? There were studies, I remember, in the 60s, when I was studying education, so there was a national, United States, when I say national, I mean the United States, there was an American study, the National Association of Education, they did a study of the subjects that children excelled in. And the subjects that children excelled in were the ones that the parents took an interest in. Now you know, it's us, we're wise after the fact, and it makes sense to us, right? But that's exactly what was going on. The subject that a parent took an interest in, you know, so it's one thing, they said, do your homework, right? You know, did you learn today? But if they see that these things interest you, that, you know, and that's what he's saying here, that this is the whole lesson from Shimshon. Ki habani mitchanchim mima shiroi meitzel ha'orim. The children learn from the role model that they get from their parents. V'im yomar ha'adam livno, and if a parent says to, a person says to his child, lahachzik be'eza hanhagat tova, to be careful with a particular, you know, watch yourself with this, reprimands a child, let's say, or it's important for you to do this, it's important for you to learn Torah, it's important for you to be kind to people, it's important for you, whatever. She'ein hu ba'atzma ma'asim, right? And the father doesn't do it. right? You know, like I cringe sometimes, even when I went years ago as a parent, when you go to the public parks. I remember going to Wonderland in Toronto, which was around the corner from where we lived, right? And you see parents with the turnstile sending their kids under the turnstile, right? And not only parents, you know, who do not wear kippot, you know? It's a very embarrassing, and it's, how wrong is that? What kind of a lesson are you giving your child, right? So Afim Yochichu El Zeh, Mea Pamim V'achat, you can 101 times you can tell your child, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, you gotta do this, Lo Yatzliach, right? If he sees the parent going in the opposite direction, the kid's gonna ignore it. V'im Tirtzeh L'Gadel Nazir, if you wanna raise a Nazir, Ha'etza Ha'yechida Hi, the one and only advice I can give you, She'ata Ba'atzmecha Titnaheh K'Nazir. You have to take upon yourself the laws of Nazirut. So Baruch Hashem, we don't have to be Nazirim today, right? But parents today have to be Elohim. They have to be honest and upright people. And that's how we raise honest and upright children. Okay, the last piece. Also from the Haftorah, from this same story here. Vayomer Manoach el Malach Hashem. So he says to the Malach, that's a classic lesson. Okay, here, this is a little different. In Vayomer Manoach el Malach Hashem, Manoach says to the angel, Ne'etzrana, okay, after he speaks to him, he says, please, you know, stay a little bit. V'nase lefanecha gedi izim, let me make you a barbecue. You know, stick it on the stick, make you a barbecue. Vayomer Malach Hashem el Manoach, you know, im ta'atzreini, you know, he's going to make a korban, he's going to make a sacrifice, offer a sacrifice to Hashem, and they'll have the meat from the sacrifice. So the angel says, there's nothing doing, he says. Im te'artzeni, if I stay here, no, lo achal b'lachem, I can't eat from your food. V'im ta'asa ola l'Hashem ta'alan, if you make an ola, if you make a burnt offering to Hashem, that you can do. Ki lo yada manoach ki malach Hashem. Noach asked him to stay for himself. No, Manoach didn't know he was a prophet. Now, what's the nexus here between these two ideas? And that's what he asked. Tzarf biur, we have to understand what's going on here. Ma netinat tami, what was the reason that Manoach gave? Ki mipnei shelo yada shem malachu, because he didn't know he was an angel, yalu olo, umincha. So therefore he'll just give a korban olo, you know? And he won't eat with it. What's going on here? So he wants to say like this, v'nira b'pashtan shel dvarim, the explanation is, so he heard from this person that he's telling him the future. Right? He told his wife that he's going to have a baby. She's going to have a baby. So he made a mistake. He thought that this angel was a Navi. Now there's a big difference between a Navi and a Malach, as we're going to see. Now, by the way, at this time period in Jewish history, you could not make a barbecue. You could not offer a private sacrifice on a grill. You could only go to Mishkan Shiloh to do that, right? V'im kein, therefore, haya asur lishchot ulaha'alot b'chutz. You were not allowed to make a sacrifice outside of Shiloh, which was the temporary Yerushalayim. Mikol makom, that being said, mikivan shehora navi, if a prophet says it's okay, she'ale ole l'Hashem, a prophet is allowed to make a temporary decree to make a korban, to offer a korban in a private bama, in a private altar. Va'al kein, therefore, va'yikach Manoach et gedi ha'izim, Manoach took the animal, v'et ha'mincha, and the cake offering, va'yal al atzur l'Hashem, and he put it on the rock, he was ready to offer it up. Why? Kihorat Sha'ahaya was like an emergency, a temporary decree edict of the Malach, of the angel. V'haya mutar lishchot, so it was permitted to shech ulahalot b'chutz and to offer it outside. U'kedematzinu shegam Eliyahu Anavi b'har Karmel hora horacha. We know the famous story of Eliyahu on the Mount Carmel, also offered up a korban. It was a horacha lahatir abama. V'chein katav Rambam, the Rambam actually tells us the halacha. Im yomar lano hanavi, sheno delano shehu navi, if we know for a fact that he's a navi, we tested him. La'avor alachat mikol mitzvot ha'amura, but he tells us to go against a law in the Torah. Kefisha, emergency situation, mitzvah lishmol. right? Ke Eliyahu Bahara Carmel. That's the Rambam. That's Maimonides. So here he says, V'davka, b'hu chazak l'navi, okay, you have to know that he's a navi, right? U'lechei, therefore, kivan shekvar hu chazak ha'ish alokim k'navi, he was proven to be a prophet, right? She'eshet manoach she'hayta akara kvar harav nikayim huato. His wife was barren for so many years, and the navi, he was shown his nevuah, he said she's going to give birth to a child, she gave birth to a child, so he's definitely a prophet. He'ele manoach oleo m'tchavachut. So therefore he says, I'm going to do this, and I know the Malach is going to say it's okay. Aval lo yada, he didn't realize. Manoach ki malachu, he was an angel. Bevadai lo haya mekabel bimenu la'alot b'chutz bizmana yisur ha'bamon. He would never have allowed this to happen. He's not a manavi. Ki lo b'shamayimi. Ve'ein morin al pi divrei ha'malach. A Malach can't pass in a shayla. A Malach is not allowed to answer a halacha question. And that's what's going on here. He says, "Ubezen avin hemshech ha'psukim." Now we understand the continuation of the psukim. Vayal malach Hashem b'la'av ha'mizbeach u'manoach yishto roim. So they saw what happened at the end of the. You'll see at the end of the Haftorah, the angel went up in the flame with the fire, right? Va'az yada manoach ki malach Hashemu. Manoach knew that he was an angel, not a prophet. Vayomer manoach el yishto. Manoach said, "We're going to die now. You know, God saw us. The angel saw us." Meaning, Hayinu Shemi Kevan Shiro, Ech Sha'Allah Balahava Shaman, Hevinu Sha'elu Bachut. We did this terrible thing. We offered a sacrifice outside of the Mishkan. We're not supposed to do that, right? Right? Az Pachad Manoach, he was afraid Shu Chayav Mita, Machmat Shavar al Yisur Shu Bukorin. He was afraid that he did that he'd be punished with death, right? Ki Alokim Reina means that the angel saw. Velo Navi, Kemosha Daminu. We thought he was a Navi. So he thought he was going to die. Of course, his wife tells him, his wife had superior spirituality, as you see from the Parsha. So don't, we're not going to die. We have a mission. God gave us a mission. But that's what was going on here. That's why the angel refused the korban, because he wasn't allowed to make a korban. So just one final word on angels and people. The rabbis say that your rav, your teacher, your rebbe, your rabbi, should be kemalach Hashem tzavakor. He should be like an angel to you, right? He should be like an angel. How do we understand that your rebbe should be like an angel? How can he be like an angel? Not an angel with wings. If your rebbe's like an angel, he says, the Rambam says, go after him and study Torah for him. If your rebbe's not an angel, don't study Torah for him. Don't follow. So I once heard from Rav Yaakov Weinberg himself, and he said a beautiful explanation of this Rambam. He said, if your Rebbe is an angel, means, what's the difference between an angel and a human being? A malach, as we see, has no mind of his own. A malach is a servant of God. He has a job to do. He cannot paskin shilas. He cannot deviate from his mission. A man has bechira. An angel has no free will. Man has free will, right? If you see that your Rebbe does not introduce reform and change from the Mesorah, that whatever he received from his Rebbe, he's giving over to you. What his Rebbe received from his Rebbe, and his Rebbe from his Rebbe, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a Malach Hashem. That he's a Baal HaMesorah. That he sees himself as a transmitter of the tradition. He's not putting in his own new Torah. It's the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Pshat. If your Rebbe is Malach Hashem Tzavakot, that he's a Baal HaMesorah, then you go get Torah from him. That he's offering you the Mesorah without any embellishments, without any change. Now the methodology changes. The methodology of Torah changes, but the essential mitzvahs of Torah do not change. That's a Malach. That's what we mean in Rebbe. Okay, very good. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you all next week.